This is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 22nd of April 2018. I have a resident groundhog I haven't seen since last fall, and he made an appearance yesterday, came out of his hole, lives out the back, and wandered to his usual spot on a ridge and looked over the field and did a bit of thinking, of course, and looked at it. It was in the snow, of course. There's still a lot of snow on the ground in the field and so on. And on the ridge, he pervaded his domain, basically, and had a little think, and he reappeared today. It was a bit warmer today in the sun. So at last, thank goodness, at last, maybe it's starting to turn into, I don't know if we'll even get a spring, it might go into right into summer, I don't know. Folk have no idea how routine weather control is today, and it is routine on a massive scale. Not guessing about it either. You can read their own publications from the universities of what they'd like to do and what they have been doing in pretended experimental phases, as you say, testing it out here and there, when they've been doing it steadily since 1998, at least in Canada here. It's routine, including the old HARP technologies, which in the interviews were done in the 90s with the spokespeople for HARP in the US military, and Air Force, I think it was too, admitted that they could quite easily, with the standing waves, alter the patterns of the Earth's natural air streams, the jet streams in the air, and the different trade winds, etc. And they could even bring them right down to the ground level if they wanted to, which didn't really generally happen in nature. It's really old technology, but it's used on a routine scale today. We are living in a cocoon, aren't we? A cocoon of make-believe, in a sense. A form, and it is true. It's just, people don't realize your culture, whatever culture you're in at that moment, and everything you think about as part of your culture, is incredibly carefully thought out for you with massive panels, sometimes international panels, who decide how to... See, they don't have to create the new culture. They morph you into it step by step in little phases of it through entertainment and through education at school and so on. And whatever you want, whatever you really want to know is going to be happening in 20 years' time, you just look at what the children are getting in their first year at school. And that will tell you how the culture is to be back, it will come 20 years' time or 25 years' time, step by step. That's always how it's done. And it's not a new thing, as I've mentioned before. The Comintern did it. They give lectures on it back in the 1930s, how they did it. But now it's even more perfect, in a sense, because you have worldwide standardized education along the same lines. Most folk don't know. And it's true, I understand it. Believe you me, we all go through, we're born into a system. There's no one to stand and say, hey, look, I give you a little shake. This is how it really works. And give you a really intensive crash course on reality. You don't get that when you're a child. And it's a shame, and a lot, most of it is because most adults don't know either. They've morphed into the creature they were intended to be by the system, the culture, the propaganda, the indoctrination. It's very clever and very, very, very effective indeed. And I've always said, natural tendencies are used against you, and natural acceptances of tribal systems, regardless of if you're in a multicultural system or not, it makes no difference. You still have this natural tendency to think authority must be there to take care of you. It's very, very paternal, even maternal too, and how you perceive it. And as I say, in a small tribe, you could see quite easily if a chief got out of hand and got too uppity for his status and so on. Or if he wanted to continue his own domain as in a family tree, like royalty or whatever, in a system perhaps where the tribe decided who was going to be chief for a period, they simply got rid of him, kicked him out, did whatever it took to get him out. But when you have a so-called civilized system, which is capitalistic, run on money, it doesn't matter. If you run on money, I don't care if it's capitalist or communistic, you're still run on money. You really are. These are your little tokens, your little seed, you see. And that's how you're ruled. So once you have money in any form, you can hire, in a system where that's the norm, you can hire armies to take care of the chief, and the chief will be protected for as long as he ever wants to be, and his children too. That's the problem. So natural tendency of trust, because your elders in a small tribe would naturally elect someone they trusted, who is real and not a propaganda expert like we have today. And you would trust them to take care of your own best interests. Today we don't have that at all. Today government and what they call governance is so remote from your reality, from your personal reality. Most folk don't even know it exists. They really think that somehow that this antiquated nonsense of a party system, this tripe, and that's what it is tripe, is there to take care of them in the way that they are right now, and it'll always be that way. Even when it's changing, and they can't grasp why it's changing, they still go along and vote the same way as always. It's too easy to, because it's really meant to hit the very primitive person, in the primitive part, and everybody too. We're big brother, we're daddy, and we'll take care of your needs. We'll get you jobs. We'll take care of your health. We'll make sure your children have schooling and that kind of thing. And welfare. All the things that in modern society. And that's why Quigley said back in the 60s, Carl Quigley, that is, in his own book, Tragedy and Hope, that eventually the parties would all be the same at election time, promising the same things. And therefore, it's more of a competition of who can promise the most of the same things. Depending on the good public relations experts they hire, the big corporations that they hire, big, and they are big corporations, some of these advertising executives, to promote them, then that's generally who you'll vote for. Very simple, very, very simple. But it's managed that way. It wouldn't matter either if the other group got in, because really, for those who rule the world, it's the overall strategy that's important. There's always winners and losers to an extent for temporary periods while they're in power, this party or that party is in power. But as long as whoever party is in must obey and go along with the big, big plan, which they never mention during elections, which really is the end of your sovereign nation state as a state. Politicians will lie, especially the ones who are involved in this. They'll lie their teeth off to you if they still have teeth. And they will... They'll tell you, oh, yeah, you still have all these rights and you're still a nation and so on. But meanwhile, you don't. Anything that really, really matters, you're not told about it to start with. For instance, Canada is a good example, and so is the States and Britain and every other country, were examples of a supra-governmental system. They call it governance, of massive boards of appointees who are generally ex-politicians, who make the career of feeding off the taxpayer. And because they're good at feeding off the taxpayer, that they're ideal for taking more tax money to get the big agendas through across the globe, the massive changing face of the world. And they're very, very secretive. They'll publish little PR pieces that sound almost like wonderful charitable works that they do. But in reality, it's much bigger than that. Much bigger than that. We're all little peons across the planet. Doesn't matter what country you're in. And today, starting from the old organisation which they used to have, based in Britain, that was the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and then now they have the European Group for International Affairs. It's the same body of people, based in London or the headquarters. And they have one for the Far Eastern Group as well, Pacific Region, and the Institute for Pacific Relations. It's the same group. So everywhere for the groups of nations, they have a different name for the same bunch that run it all. Planned and set up a lot before you were even born, and often before your dads were born. Very old. And they set up the IMF and the World Bank and the Bank for International Settlements. They set them all up. And they even said, and Quigley, he was a member of it. And Quigley said himself that eventually everything will be run by across the whole planet by the World Bank, the IMF, and the Bank for International Settlements would be the big controller of financing across the world. And it will even fix, which it does, of course, they fix the rates of currencies in every country. And the whole plan eventually, down the road, will be, who knows when, but down the road they want a single currency. Now they're going to digitalization, it's almost there. Because it really doesn't matter, eventually, what you call your currency in your own little area. But you have no idea. And now, the big foundations are a part of it too, because the Royal Institute for International Affairs, they work with the big foundations, that their members set up the big foundations, I should say, which run thousands of NGO groups. And as long as the tops of NGOs are bought and paid for, the followers fall for all the do-gooding stuff that they're supposed to do. I mentioned it before, it's almost like that if you understand, and I hate even going into this term, using this term, this Illuminati term, but you got to understand what, for instance, Cecil Rhodes said in his will. Now, Cecil Rhodes was also a member of this international group to standardize a system across the whole planet. A lot of them were front men too, even organizations to an extent have always been fronts for something else. But Rhodes himself, who was in partnership in this idea with the Royal Institute for International Affairs, or the Lord Alfred Milner Group, as it was called then, and also with he was his partner in his own group, was Lord Rothschild of London. And he talks about it in his will, how he'd left most of the stuff to Rothschild to take over, and I guess to hand out to other groups and so on, to make sure that agenda continues. He mentioned, too, had to be run on a form of a secret society similar to the Jesuits. Now, don't jump and, oh, my God, here we go, it's the Jesuits, blah, 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 or it's the Catholics. Blah, blah. No, it's not. He says, like that. Remember, too, getting back to Illuminati, that Weishaupt understood the Jesuit technique, since he worked at a Jesuit university, and he understood the technique of confession. Because when you're training someone to be a Jesuit, and it's a great education for the people who become, or they used to be anyway, Jesuits. They picked very bright people, very devoted people. They'll go across the world and often get slaughtered in different tribal situations across the planet, Latin America and different parts of Africa and so on. And sometimes they were so well respected, they could get into countries over time and be allowed to stay there where no one else would if they were foreigners, like Japan. And to train people like that, to get them so dedicated, you had to, the whole idea was to find their weaknesses so that the masters would find the weaknesses, the human weakness each a person will have. And they would do it through confession of what they were terrified of, what they were liable to give in to, as they call a sin. They would give in to something and do something they shouldn't do. And the idea being to find out where their weak spots were and then stop the weak spots from dominating their life or destroying them. So give them abilities and techniques to overcome these weaknesses. Now remember, too, that these guys would have to go into incredible situations in a time when there were often no roads into a lot of these places are going into, and heavy jungles and disease, etc. Where most folk would just give up, these people would keep going. That's an incredible strength. And that's why many organizations afterwards copied that technique of training people to be so incredibly strong and persevering through thick and thin under circumstances that would crush most people. And as I say, they did find out weaknesses in each person to try and strengthen them, to stop that weakness being a chink in to the destruction of them during these hard times and hard tests. And Weishaupt, of course, he took the same kind of idea. As I say, everyone knew how effective this organization was, and Weishaupt took the idea and realized that he could get people who are really keen and good of goodwill, youngsters especially, train them in that technique as well, and get the confession out of them to find their weak spots. And then, and that, here's the key, appoint someone like a confessor to them in his own organization to be the mentor, very similar to the Jesuit. But now they had all of the weaknesses of that person. And rather than strengthen them against their weaknesses, they could actually exploit those weaknesses and use the people. And when they became agents, in a sense, to infiltrate societies, organizations, existing organizations, they would still believe they're doing good work to bring a world of peace or uniting a world together. Does it sound familiar? And they would infiltrate existing organizations, like Freemasonry, for instance. It was wide open for that. Many organizations went into Freemasonry to do the same kind of thing. But Weishaupt's organization did it to a really the nth degree. And he also could infiltrate the churches and so on. And get people of goodwill by using their terminology, their outlook, and why they existed, appearing to copy it. It's like a mirror image in a sense, so you couldn't really tell it apart, except he would start to introduce little changes here and there and use them to work to his own ends, to build his own empire. But his agents were very good too, and they really believed they were going to work for a world of peace and, as I said, in Freemasonry, and still say it, which is, again, an awful lie, but the International Brotherhood of Man, they could bring it to be, regardless of circumstances and situations. Weishaupt himself realized that he could do this so slickly. In fact, he even boasted about his confidence at the top. He boasted how he brought in bishops even and higher religious people, whom he convinced that by explaining the deeper meanings of their own religion, that you could make them better Christians. And he laughed and mocked them for doing that behind their backs. So again, you can use people by using very, very well-tried techniques, not by appearing to abuse the people that you're training, but actually making them think they're doing a great justice cause. The communists use the same technique with the young guys to be agents, and so and they were absolutely devoted, and they believed in what they were up to, never realizing they're being used again by a similar group, if not the same group. It's very, very effective, very effective. And it's very ancient too. Before they came along with Weishaupt, that technique was understood before in ancient times as well. But Weishaupt talked about it, how he did it, and how the fools, psychopaths love to brag. And he boasted about how the fools who followed him blindly and sheepishly and slavishly, they would actually almost grovel to him as like he was a god himself, and never realize he was using them. Because the intention, here's the key, where they were being led to, with all their good goals and so on, was not where he was taking them at all. But they had to believe that they were going along that path. He had other directions in mind about it all. So you can use people, use those intentions, use them all to get what you want, and they'll be the last ones to figure out they've all been used. Most of them will never figure out they've been used. And that is exactly what I'm talking about now with the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which is the CFR at the same time. There's many, many different branches and names of all the same organizations. The higher group, of course, they pulled out of it, was the Trilateral Commission. Remember, this is all private. This is unelected by the public. This is private. And they advise every government. In fact, they run every government across the planet that they call civilized. In other words, the countries where they've introduced the same system and central banking and borrowing from the World Bank and the IMF to get the money back, and the Bank for International Settlements, etc., etc., and all the massive bureaucracies, which they are, that govern the people and are completely unelected by the people. And most folk never know this. They don't know. Because there's no one to tell them of how it really works. You're not supposed to. Can you imagine if enough people who all knew what was going on, at least this basic stuff I'm talking about here, this is the basic stuff I'm telling you here at the moment. If there's enough people to even know that, how it would make their job a lot more difficult. See, my goodness, look at all the people who are watching what we're up to. All the different groups out there. They're all connected like a massive worldwide, literally, web. And that, the web itself, the WWW, was no coincidence either. But instead, you're given trivia to obsess over. Your natural little fears, are they going to crash the economies again? Oh, inflation has gone up in Canada twice in 2 months, two or three months. And the government's given permission for all the, like they said over the last few years ago, that is, that constantly now all the energy prices can go up and up and up and up. It's interesting too, all the big boys who are so wonderful with their charitable work after being in politics, who belong to these organizations and work for them. Isn't it wonderful how they've all got massive investments in every project across the world, which they use our tax money to fund and get going? Huh? Isn't that just, you understand what I'm saying? You're looking at the same thing as Weishaupt, because that's what he had in mind. It's like the old idea of Sherlock Holmes with Moriarty, that his arch enemy, a genius, who could get people to do whatever he wanted to, and the folk who did it could never figure out to the end that they'll be used. Same kind of thing. Same kind of darn thing. So don't look at these people with their titles when they call the Right Honourable so-and-so, yada yada yada. Don't think they're somehow superior or more holier than thou, because they're not. Far from it. The most successful crime syndicates are the officially acknowledged ones. They give themselves beautiful titles. They get everybody bowing and scraping to them. They plundered the planet with your money, off of you. Remember part of the idea that they couldn't tax people with off your income for centuries, supposedly. And this is during World War I in the UK and other countries too. It's a temporary war tax. And being the good, honest people they are, they never, of course, they wouldn't lie to you. And the temporary part of gradually just disappeared. And that's what happened. US did the same thing. A victory tax. Victory for who, eh? And that's how it was done. To rule the world, master the world, and always feed rivers and rivers of propaganda to the public how wonderful these organizations which they run all are, and how they're doing the good, and they're there to do good. Don't forget that the reason they couldn't tax you before, and they used the wars for an excuse for your income, was because if you tax your labour, that was a form of slavery. That was completely understood and debated in the 1700s and 1800s. Amazing how we can just forget it. Well, they're doing good things with it, apart from getting lining their own pockets and having tremendous wages and flying around in jets, which we all pay for, as they take your rights and your sovereignty away from everybody, and they flood countries across the world into a massive mix, which they know is going to cause, from the experience they've got already, but they knew before they started, it would cause tremendous problems and strain and welfare systems and so on. They won't live amongst you. Of course they won't. They never have. And they won't be driving amongst you or walking in the streets with you either. There's other plans that they've got in mind. But the fact, what I'm getting you to, is most of what governs your life is done by those who aren't even elected through your governmental systems. So, getting back to voting, it doesn't matter who you vote for, as Quigley said. He was the historian for the American branch, this Council on Foreign Relations. And the reason he was a historian too was because he took it over from Alfred Zimmern, who was a communist. And as he said himself, we, as an organization, are often mistaken. They're thinking about the charitable, so-called charitable, we're doing good all the time, and as they plunder countries, make war on countries, all the rest of it, and then pretend to help them out. Eh? But that's what Quigley said. He says, we accept everybody, dictators, he says, and right-wing, left-wing, communists, we don't mind who they are. They're all sworn to one system. And it's imperative you have all this variety in it, because the trick of governing all peoples is to have front people for every type within society to follow. I mentioned it before, it's like walking into a massive clothing store. See, you're a man or a woman, go to a man's store or a woman's store, and they go, for you, there's every kind of clothing that a man would wear. Every kind of suit, every kind of colour, whatever your mind goes for, they got it already made for you. And that's what political parties and shades of political parties are all about. Same thing with all your protesting and so it's all made for you. All made for you. It's better when it's made for you, because see, if you start making your own groups, grass, you know, roots, it's more work for them to take it over time, which they can do over time. They can put their own people in. And they'll be great volunteers. That's standard stuff with communists. They'll come in and volunteer we'll do that. Don't worry about that. We'll do all the paperwork for you. And you'll elevate this person that comes in and who works tirelessly until they do everything and do the books and blah, 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 until they're running the company, which is your organization or your charity group or whatever it happens to be. And then they swing it off into a different direction that was intended all along. That's what they do. But it does take them longer to do that. It's much better to have ready-made groups that you'll go, because you've got a flavour for this and a flavour for that. They've got it made for you already. And if they can make enough angst, I call it angst groups that are formed with beefs about this. Oh, I'm not happy about this. And shades of all kinds, including genders. Then they can use that angst against each other, in fact. They don't care about you if you're happy or not happy. They don't care if they give a darn about you. Or if something is made legal, even, you know, again, all kinds of forms of genders, or whatever. They don't care at the top. It's like the old movies used to make from Greece, and they were pretty good movies, some of them, and they've been dubbed into English, about the gods up in Mount Olympus, looking down on all the petty people. And they'd play with the people. And that was the key again. They played with the people. Oh, look at so-and-so. He likes this and she likes that. And they'd play with them and have little games with them. And the people would be prompted and nudged along this way and that way. And never, ever know. They'd never know. They're being used. The gods are sitting there watching, laughing their heads off. Laughing. It was great fun. Well, that's what those who rule the world look at. That's how they look upon us. And occasionally they have a nuisance problem. Someone who hasn't joined a group but is trying to start their own group. That's not managed by them yet. And they have to divert a little bit of work towards you to get someone to get in there and gradually take it over. But as I say, most of the time, that's why you've got all these ready-made groups. I can remember, for instance, through the 90s, you had, and just beyond it, you had the global meetings. And you had some in Toronto. And there was a big stink at Toronto when they had one where they had areas of Toronto cordoned off. The public couldn't go for the massive meetings of the special, all these special anointed people coming in. And the public were kept away from that. And it came out at the time, well, as long as this is going on, that this people, because people were arguing, we can walk on this as public, you know, as part of Canada's sovereign nation. Well, they said, we're not for this meeting, it's not. So, you know, so in other words, here you have brute force telling you, brute force, that's what it is, and the threat of brute force, that they can make something non-sovereign for temporary, or I guess, if they can do it temporary, they can do it permanent, because it's all in your head anyway, what a country is, isn't it? Isn't it? It's what they tell you it is. It's a corporation, but they can tell you can't go there, because at this moment, no, you don't have rights here at all. So stay off, and don't go down the alleyway or down that road or wherever, until we say you can. That's what happened. The meetings for these globalist meetings, which are big fanfare thing. All they do is go, all the leaders from different countries and all their stragglers that are getting kickbacks and that for these freebies that they go to, and prostitutes too. They even had articles in the papers about the prostitutes, all kinds, male and female, which we pay for. The British Columbia one, they actually came out at the time they said that. That it's their preferences, a lot of them, from different countries. It's just their culture and so on, so accept it. So you have to toss your laws out the window to accept another culture. Well, what does that tell you? What does that tell you about your culture? It means your culture is completely pliable, according to your boss's whims. Huh? How about that? But we pay for them all, and some of them are underage too, including males. So it's okay for them to break all laws, because your rulers are just like the gods up there, you see. And your rulers are not the ones you see as you elect. They're a bit minor, they're a bit down from the gods. But they're responsible to the gods that run the world. But you're not supposed to know all that. You're supposed to just see the thing, oh, isn't that terrible? And react to everything emotionally. That's what they want. then it's easy to manage you. And that's why they have so many groups on the fringe of emotional breakdowns over different things at the moment. It's awfully good for managing society and getting laws passed. Galore, they love to pass laws. But as I say, quickly mention it all. And people will still vote. Left wing, right wing, oh, well, get this. And that's what they say too. You don't vote new politicians in. You simply vote the present bunch out. You're so sick of them. Because they generally break every law that they said that they'd defend or whatever it happens to be. But as long as they get the agendas done and signed and all the agreements for further integration of NAFTA or whatever it happens to be, or global integration with transatlantic treaty and pan this and pan that treaties. This goes way back to the early 1900s, the same organization with all of its different amalgamation treaties. Hasn't changed. It's the biggest club in the planet as far as power goes. But they don't like to talk about themselves much. They used to bring on members on television to advise governments, or just for the TV. And they'd say, member of the Royal Institute for International Affairs, or Council on Foreign Relations, or the European Institute for International Affairs, or the Far Eastern Pacific group, blah, blah, to advise, without going into what the group actually, where they got their authority from. They gave it to themselves. That's where they got it from. In a sense, they completely infiltrate. Most of them in high levels of government are members as well. But they don't mention that when they run. They don't tell you that when they run for politics. Or they'll say, we're not members at the moment. I mean, they left their club for the moment. That's what they pretend to you. But the very fact they've been in it in the first place tells me all I need to know. Because they never leave. They never leave. Come on. But you're not supposed to think about that. Think about the cost of living. Think about your day-to-day struggles, because most folk have struggles. The people who don't have struggles don't worry about what's coming down the pike. They're always the ones that go into utter shock when it actually happens. Because traditionally, the way to see who hits first is the bottom strata first. Well, I'm okay. It's not boring me. And I can get by. I can afford it, blah, blah, blah. And they're always shocked when something hits them too. Always. I mean, really, really shocked. And they let it happen. Because when they could have said something, they say nothing. Most folk want to be safe. I'm all right, Jack. Don't give me any problems. I don't want to hear that. It's unpleasant. And if you look at the history of the world, the most unpleasant things that have ever happened because everybody shut up over a generation at least and let it happen. And since we're into the system, well into the system, and I know what's coming down the pike with this complete cashless society, it isn't just cashless. Oh, I don't mind cashless. It's everything that goes with that you don't understand. I've given talks before of the big players who helped develop and create the part of history you're going through right now with your cultural changes and your laws. Many of them, and actually maybe most of them are actually dead now, but they planned it in the last century and wrote about it in great detail. And they worked with big working groups with the CFR, with the Royal Institute for International Affairs and the Pacific Group as well. But they planned with groups to develop new cultures. And Bertrand Russell talked about it in good detail about that, the scientific time, when they would run it all through the appearance of science, right down to eventually, government, just like the old communist idea. Don't think that communism is a different agenda here. All experiments were run by the same bunch, if you haven't quite got that. And incredibly well studied to see what they can get from the best and combine them together. But Bertrand Russell, who was a lord, remember, and lords don't have any intention of giving up what they own, and the privileges they have at all. They have no intentions of that. And he talked about how government eventually would put so much, it could be credits, call it whatever you want, bings, credits, whatever you want. It makes no difference at all what your seed is called and your little tokens, and they'll put them into a bank for you. It doesn't even have to be a real bank, it can be electronic. And they'll give you the same amount across the board according to your working strata, because the class system is awfully alive and well, even in communist China. And to be good, you can withdraw what you need out of it for that, say, 2-week period. But you can't, anything you don't use at the end of that is gone when more is put into it the next time by the government. So you can't save it up. They not all be equal at that strata. But above you, there'll be a different system altogether for those above. And that's the privileged system. The ones who, quotation marks, serve the system. The bureaucratic elites and all the NGO groups and so on, and the commissars. That's what it's all about. But if you're bad, if you're bad, 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 or you've asked the wrong questions, and now it's down to even saying, even asking the question, but you're not allowed to, you didn't know it. Because even questionings about certain things are illegal now. They'll withdraw, they'll stop, a bit of hold on you, your money or your credits, and you can't get it out to pay your rent or anything, so you suffer. No food, blah, 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 that'll teach you. Look at the Chinese system. China is a model state for the world. And they're using their likes and dislikes for a form of social approval and disapproval. Now, they can generate as many sock puppet fake answers as they want to your little thing, your little site. And right down to every purchase you make and so on. What do you think of me buying this? Was it a good thing I bought this eco-friendly blah, blah, blah? And you'll get all the approvals or disapprovals. And that goes right down to how you're viewed by your government. Your government runs it all, you see. Where you're going to get credit cards or not credit cards. Where you'll be allowed and you see certain state-sponsored, say, shows or whatever. Or not allowed into it. Punishment and reward. Punishment and reward. The model state for the world. You have no idea what's really going on. And this incredible layer of almost invisible and to the most of the public unknown bureaucracy, strata upon strata upon strata of bureaucracy, dealing with all of this. Never mind the neuroscientists and psychologists, blah, blah, blah. And all types of economists working together and legalists, etc. None of this is mentioned when you vote what you think is your main candidate in. You know, the personality you're going to get into rule you think. What a joke. And you know, too, it's just like Trump and you know that neocons are just continuing. It hasn't stopped. The massive wars, perpetual war. I read the articles from the military's own magazines at the time. Perpetual war, they called it. That's how it's going to be. And it isn't just a war to standardize the whole world for the masters of the world that you do have and you don't vote in. It's a war against all of your claimed rights. Rights of independence. Rights of having a mind of your own. Rights of being able to say what you think. It's a perpetual war. Haven't you got it yet? Haven't you got it? Because you're seeing the same approval, disapproval here in Canada and the States and elsewhere as you're seeing in China. See, we had it first before China got it. You haven't quite realised that, have you? Well, don't expect the media to tell you. Although, lots will copy what I'm saying here and tell you now. But what I'm getting at too is the reality of how everything really is. Back to Trump. And then back further to Obama. Obama was the new guy who was going to end all the wars, right? I think there was 3 wars in the go the US had at the time. When he left, there was about 7 or 9 of them. He got the Peace Prize. So you got to knock off a few countries before you get that prize. And I can remember Donald Rumsfeld congratulating Obama for continuing the same neocon agenda as the neocons had before him, you see. And now there's Trump in as well. There's a lot more I could say. I could talk about books that were written by people who were allowed to write books about the groups that were behind a lot of it. So it doesn't matter who you vote, even if you've got a really naive person, and Trump isn't naive, even if you were Truman from The Truman Show, utterly naive, you would soon be put straight as to how the world is going to be run while you're in. You wouldn't even need to be told why it's going to be run that way. You'd just be told it's going to be. And if you didn't cooperate, the whole establishment and all the media wouldn't cooperate with you either, because they're all owned as well. The saddest thing for people to learn is how much people generally are sellouts to each other. Complete sellouts. Complete, utterly. And it's disgusting. For money, as I say, filthy lucre, how they'll sell out everybody that they know. and even their own people, or even a class. It makes no difference at all. It's pretty disgusting, actually. When you see that, you might go into depression for a while, if you're really naive. And most folk are. But that's how bad it really is. There's a massive system that's been here long before you were born, and it planned a world order. And the world order, by the way, I love how people will poo-poo you if you mention that word, even though the elite themselves have churned out book after book for the last 100 years with titles like World Order or The Coming World Order, etc., etc. How about Jack Zatali as an example, just one, winners and losers in the coming world order. And presidents do it too. But isn't it amazing how they can take reality, the media, if you say it, if they've targeted you, and make you sound like a nutcase for saying it? Because most folk won't even read or they have no idea. I had a cop once ask me a little joke, what about the New World Order, eh? You know? So this man says, well, what are you talking about? I rattled off about five to him as his jaw dropped. And titles of the books by reputable people. But anyway, that's how it really is. That's how it really is. What runs the system is something vastly different. You're only going through a little journey here. Your whole life here is a little journey. And everybody before you was in their little journey, and once they come after you. And each phase of it all is already planned on a massive scale of what has to be accomplished in your time. All you have to do is pay for it all and do what you're told. That's really how it is. And suffer too. If they want you to suffer, you're going to suffer. Now, I'll put a link up tonight. John Pilger had a video out last year, I think it was, about China and America and their relations and so on, right down to possible war with China. But it's a dramatic title, etc. But he's awfully good as a documentary filmmaker. And he's one of the few that actually goes to places and puts his life on the line at times to get stories and to get the truth. He's definitely far left, and he doesn't criticize China much at all. But in the documentary, he will, if you really look at it, he'll show you the incredible amount of bases America has around China. But he also shows you bureaucrats within China give the same kind of bureaucratic spiel that we're used to, with the kind of face, a little smile, like they don't believe it themselves, and that's how they do it. Listen to it, that's how they do it. They're all the same the world over. Doesn't matter what system they pretend they're in. And you see the one, for instance, a younger fella in China who's an economist too or something, but he's very successful, and they get awfully lots of, just like we do in our countries. Our unelected bureaucrats, these organizations I'm talking about, they're just there, they run everything. We don't vote any of them in. Your government doesn't even mention them to you. They'll get these incredible privileges that you can't get. Well, you see them in China with the massive buildings they're allowed to live in, huge, big, gated communities and lots of perks. And what you're seeing is a class. I see a class system, where John Pilger goes into it or not. You're seeing a really class system. Of course you are. And they'll say, well, our difference is our government rules over the capitalist system, so it can't dominate us and tell us what to do. Who's kidding who? If you have a big money system, and you have people who are getting hypnotized with the glitter of the coinage there, and churning out millionaires and even billionaires, and you have people managing that money and trade and what's going to be worth it, you are at the mercy of those who rule the money system. Even if you pretend it's your own government that runs it, you're kidding yourselves. And that's all I'll say in that. But anyway, you'll enjoy it. John Pilger does definitely do a good job. But sometimes doesn't ask a lot of hard enough questions with the right people. I don't see any good guys anywhere on the planet, actually. And don't forget that China is an essential part to the Western world, because the groups I'm talking about here, like the Royal Institute of International Affairs and CFR, they set up the massive trading blocks. They set up the World Trade Organization. They set up the transport of all your factories to China, physical transportation of all tooling and etc. We paid for all your tax money, paid for it. I've given talks before. Go into the archives at cuttingthroughmirage.com. By the way, send me a buck or two if you can, once in a while as well. You'll see how to do it at cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Or buy the books there, get the discs as well. But I've given so many talks about this, how it was done, how it was set up, and how that we and that had a massive crash, the loss of economy and manufacturing jobs. We, through our tax money, paid for them all to move, all these big so-called patriotic corporations. Who's kidding who, eh? they keep the names on their tooling and stuff and sell you the stuff back. This should be a fraction of the cost, but no. What they do is they have a fraction of the cost of manufacturing, but the prices stay the same or go up even higher. Incredible, eh? Isn't it? But yeah, you're free. You're living in a very fair and just world, so let them rule over you, these people. That's okay. And you'll never catch on. Never catch on. And the wars continue, perpetual wars for the big military-industrial complex. And guess who loses? You'll lose back home. You always lose back home. Look at the state Britain's in. Look at the state of it. The murder is getting towards the stabbing murder rate of is higher than New York. It's roughly the same population size, but it's higher than New York. And getting worse. Now they're calling for the carnage to come this summer because it's going to escalate. And they know what's causing it. They know it's bringing more people in from across different countries. They're going to get more and more of it. They know what this, of course they do. And it makes you wonder if it's planned that way. It has to be. I want to put up a whole bunch of articles from Canada to do with the World Refugee Council. If you didn't know you had one, it's been here for an awful long time. And CG is a big part of it in Waterloo, Canada. That's to do with global governance, CG. And Waterloo University is involved in a lot of the studies too. They're always studying us all under the microscope and planning things too. You don't vote them in, but they do it anyway. And use your tax money, of course. But they talk about greater political accountability necessary to reform refugee system. And you have a Mr. Axworthy here in Canada, who's been a lifer, I think it's probably the CFR, but because it's a CG thing, which is CFR. I'll put up two the members of this World Council. Trying to find how much money they get is not so easy, but it's phenomenal, as you can imagine. And they've got tremendous power to... They don't call it immigration anymore. They call it big mass migration. That's what they're looking about. The same terms I saw back in the 70s coming from the Rockefeller Foundation, who were working on that at the time too, what was to come, what they wanted to come, etc. And that's what you've got. And don't forget too, with free trade, very few folk read it, and you'll see it's also the free flow of goods and labour, but it's also, now it's, they forget this labour, don't have to even work now, just people across the world, for those who haven't got it. But it's a one-way street, because you can't go to those countries that they're coming out of and just go and live. It's just open border for those coming in. And that's how it's planned. And I'll put up information on Lloyd Norman Axworthy. These are people who, they call them statesmen, they put them way up there, and to all these top positions and things which you don't even know exist. But it's incredible. He's also, I think, up there with the World Federalist Organization. A very old organization to transform the world into the system we're talking about here. So why bother voting for people when they're already members of all these different things to do away with your countries, and you still vote for them as though they were a national government? It's a joke. I'll put up a PDF too on this organization, on the council members of the World Refugee Council, and their goals, etc. I'm also going to put up too the digital economy, jobs of the future, and the emergence of a new social compact. You should take these terms very seriously, because it's the IMF headquarters dreamed it up for you, International Monetary Fund. Again, we're talking about one massive organization here. And where they're going with it all. Also, I'm putting up good articles on Britain's first WhatsApp fingerprint conviction, which led to a flood of new cases. Police have revealed after a criminal was caught using a photograph of his hand holding drugs. and you think it's all there to help you on this technology. You're in the biggest prison that's been built, man, and they make you buy your chains. Never ends. Never mind the fact that all this, you know, on-screen touch and so on was all to get your fingerprints in the first place, but this is actually photographing you touching something else and then get your fingerprints from it. They've got everybody sussed out completely. This is the prison you're in. Way beyond this whole idea of you're going through right now, the broken eggs phase of mass migrations and all the fallout that comes with it, and welfare and countries plummeting with the cost of it all. But that's just a thing that will come and go. But what we're looking at now is a long-term thing, which is total observation 24 hours a day of every single person, without exception, except for those who get privileges above, just like they had in 1984, where O'Brien could bring in Winston to his own place and turn off the television monitor with Big Brother on it as a privilege that they got above, you see. There's nothing that's happening now that wasn't thought of long ago. And also, you'll find Commonwealth Games facial recognition software is stable. When will it be used? The Queensland government won't say. They put it in too for the games. It's all to save you and to help you and protect you and all that stuff, because it never leaves once it's all done. I'll put that there too. Also, again, the digital economy, jobs of the future, and the emergence of a new social compact. It's awfully important. I've mentioned it about three times already, but the fact is, look it up and look at it. It's the new social compact. And also, I'll put up a whole bunch of articles in the White Helmets. In fact, because there's some articles in Britain. I think Panorama did one, the BBC Panorama, of how literally they're a front group and they're pretty well fake. And they're well funded by Britain and other countries too. One of them was in 2017. It's the UK FCO financing terrorism in Syria with taxpayer funds. We know they were, for goodness sake. The West funded all the different morphing of the same group that kept fighting against the government in Syria. You know that's true. It can't be denied. Whether you like it or not, the fact is. See, it's not. I don't take sides. I'm just telling you what, if you like it or not. The fact is, your governments are overthrowing countries one after another. And each one is a mess with mass migration flooding out. They destroy countries almost into the Stone Age. And that was the plan too. And you're left to pay for it all in many different ways. Many different ways, including back home with the mass migrations into your countries. Of folk who literally haven't got a clue about your culture, your laws, or even care about them in many cases. Also, Pink Floyd frontman leaks email exposing how White Helmets recruit celebrities with Saudi Arabian money. That's another one too. Then there's nothing new in that as well. But also, US State Department Spock's plays dumb on White Helmets funding question as well, because they can't keep it under wraps anymore about the White Helmets. Mind you too, a lot of this is, these groups are set up, and I'll put one of them up for you to look at. There was an ex-mercenary set up, the so-called massive, so-called charitable group, to funnel money to these places to entrain them. You wouldn't believe what really goes on. Nothing is ever what it seems to be. Nothing is. And also the children that they used for the washing off all the toxic stuff. And it was put across the world by the Western media. Oh, look, they've done it. And they got this child talking about it. See, we just snatched off the street into the hospital, upstairs and scrubbed down under the camera. And his dad talks about it, saying there's nothing wrong with them. There was nothing happened there. They just made a video of it, and he wasn't even coded with anything. He was fine. In fact, they say he was more at risk of getting a cold from getting soaked and left naked and wet than because nothing else had happened. But quite a few articles on the White Helmets and so on too. Nothing, as I said, nothing is what it seems to be. It's really sad, isn't it? We're deceived and deceived and deceived. And it goes on and on and on. Now, when I put up an article on the police culture now in Britain, which I'm sure is the same elsewhere too across Europe, to see just what's the shenanigans that go on with the culture of those who are now called police today. That's quite amazing. Another one too is also a detective who is in the brothel industry in Britain. as I said, ties right in, of course, is that some of the articles I mentioned a few weeks ago with top ex-police chiefs in Canada in on their shares on the and the legalising of the drug industry. They'll have their shares in the corporations that are allowed to grow it and sell it, I suppose. What can you do with a system that's falling apart like that, eh? What can you say? And also, too, as I say, the article's to do with the carnage coming up, and some really expect the knifings all over in Europe to escalate like crazy. With, it's all these different gangs that are now there. And let's be honest, a lot of them, too, have come in recently, put it that way. It's easy pickings in a country that's fallen apart with its common sense and its resolve. It's that's what happens. Terrible, isn't it? And the Liberal government in Canada, now that they're legalising all the cannabis, etc., proposed decriminalisation of illegal drug use in simple possession, but they're talking about other drugs as well. So, and also they're now bitching about the Supreme Court's free the beer ruling sparks fears of cannabis trade restrictions and then passing between province to province, etc. As the big boys at the top decide who's going to get most of the business and where they can trade and sell it and so on. We're all going the same way, aren't we? We're all going the same way, all the countries. Planned that way too. But the ones at the top, don't think for an instant that they're going to suffer from any of this. They will not suffer at all themselves. They don't live amongst you. They don't. And we'll all die off gradually. You know that's going to happen too. And the population, maybe in 30 years, will be reduced bit by bit by bit by bit across the whole planet gradually. Now, what I do too, remember, is that I'm not giving you bad news. I'm just giving you things as they are for those who can handle the news, at least want to know what's happening and how it happens. Because some people resent this covert way of managing us, this herd management. We resent it, and we're given the choice to vote the same. It doesn't matter what party you pick, they're all the same. They must do what their masters tell them, and the masters have never been the people. So it is. Think about it. Well, since Grundy the Groundhog is out, and hopefully stay out now, I hope to get some decent weather and hope you do too. From myself, Alan Watt from Ontario, Canada, it's good night. May your God or your gods go with you.